You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. We also use words to great effect, don't we? I mean, think of your wedding day, those of you who are married. You spoke words with a profound capacity to change things. But if you got married in the Catholic Church, the words you spoke weren't your own. You were given these words to speak to your bride or groom. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. Fidelity, regardless of the conditions or costs, not for a while, but permanently. Love without reserve. You spoke them, but the words you spoke weren't your own. They were rooted in Christ and representative of him, faithful, permanent in his gift of himself, and true. So in a sense, he spoke them to you, and you said, I do. And then the pruning began, right? Egoism, selfishness, pride, laziness, worldliness, and such came to the surface. It was always there. And slowly but surely, you're being pruned. So enacting your I do, then, is in a way in which you remain in the one who spoke his word to you. And it's how you bear much fruit. Remaining is dependent upon doing, which is grounded in a commitment, a promise. I do. You can see something similar at confirmation, as on Tuesday when the Archbishop will pray over our young people, asking that they will be given the spirit or the mind of wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, reverence, wonder, and awe. So our kids are saying, I want God's spirit or mind. I want that, not mine, to be the criteria by which I live my life, which means all the other criteria that creeps in and wells up must be pruned too. Our second graders acknowledged this reality at their first confession last week. The word you spoke to me hasn't remained in me through my own choices, and I'm sorry. And when we come forward for Holy Communion, what are we saying? But I want my words and choices to be in communion with yours, Lord. I want my life to be transformed by yours, which I have welcomed into my heart. I still remember distinctly being in a class in the seminary, so like with 30 or 40 other men preparing to be ordained a priest or discerning priesthood at least. And in the midst of the lecture, the priest just stopped and he said, you know, the plague of your generation is the inability to make a commitment. The plague of your generation is the inability to make a commitment. A commitment, we think, limits our choices, restricts our freedom. But friends, don't be afraid to commit. Or when you feel the cost of commitment, don't be afraid. I mean, that's how we move from a world circumscribed by our little eye, no bigger than our own, to a world larger, better, and more meaningful. And apparently, it's how we bear much fruit and become Christ's disciples.